Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Mem Vav. We left off on the bottom of daf Mem Hey Amaveza, Masiv Rava L'Siyue L'Rabba. We are going to discuss that we had mentioned yesterday Rabba's Din, Rabba's Chiddush, that the idea that an Uman doesn't have a chazaka on any object that's in his Rishus, and he's not believed to say Shalihu, because when someone else claims that it's his, that's only that Rabba said Lo Shanu Al Shemasa Lo Be'Edim. That's only if the object was given to the Uman with Edim. But if it was not given to the Uman with Edim, the Uman could just say, Lahadam, he could just say, I don't know what you're talking about, you never gave me anything. And because he has that Migo, that he could have said, Lo Yidvar Me'olam, so he's believed to say, Lekuchi Hi Biyadi as well. He can claim that he owns it. So the Gemara is going to have first a proof for Rabba that in fact, if it was given without Edim, the Uman is believed to say that it's his item, and then the Gemara is going to have a proof against Rabba and conclude against Rabba. Then we're going to discuss what happens, a common situation where someone's clothing gets mixed up with somebody else's. You go to a shul, to a wedding, to something, and your coat is gone, but somebody else's coat is there. Are you allowed to use the clothing that's there in place of your own clothing? Then the Gemara is going to discuss how it is that the umnim in Pumbedisa, the tailors of Pumbedisa, used to be dishonest, and through their dishonesty try to get away with keeping things that weren't theirs. And the Gemara is going to even have a little bit of advice of how to deal with such people and how to try to get around their dishonesty. And on Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about when an Aris develops a Chazaka and when he does not have a Chazaka. Our Mishnah said that an Aris doesn't have a Chazaka, a sharecropper doesn't have a Chazaka. So the Gemara is going to say, well, that's not always true. Sometimes a sharecropper does have a chazaka. And we're also going to talk about when can an aris be made about the ownership of a field, or can an aris be made about the ownership of a field? Do we say, well, he's been working for this guy for all these years, of course he's going to be made that it belongs to that guy that he's been working for, so is he allowed to be made for that, or is he considered to be nogei abedavar? And once we're on the topic of people being made when it might be that they're nogei abedavar, the Gemara is going to talk about whether an arev, a malva, a lokeach rishon, and a kablon can be made for a love, that he owns a certain field. On the one hand, it would seem that they may be nogeh b'davar, they want the love to be able to have the field so that the love will be able to pay back the malva with that field, and the malva won't come to them, to the cosigner or to these other people who might otherwise be on the hook to have to pay the malva back. So we're going to discuss that if we get to it today. If not, then tomorrow. It's a daf yomi coincidence that the simin at the end of the daf today for that piece is Amalek. Amalek is the simin, so we'll probably get to it tomorrow in Erev Shabbos Parshas Zachar. So let's begin at Masiv Rava L'Siyue L'Rabba. So we're holding again on daf Memhe Amud Beis, about 7 lines from the end of the page. Masiv Rava L'Siyue L'Rabba. So Rava brings a raya to Rabba, which is a little bit of an interesting lashon. A masiv l'siyue. Normally a masiv is against, to ask a question on. So the Rashbam writes, masiv rav la'abaye l'siyue l'rabba nir ba'enai de b'loshon hazeh amar rava b'beis ha'medrash Tanya Kavase de Rabba Vitiyufta da Abaye. That the way the Lashon must have been said in the Beis Medrash somehow it got corrupted here, but in Beis Medrash the way he must have presented it was that he has a Tanya Kavase de Rabba, that he has a Braisa that supports Rabba and is a Tiyufta on Abaye. And he was said as follows, Hanosin Taliso Luuman, the Braisa says that if someone gives his talis to a tailor, Uman Omer Shtayim Katzatzdili, the Uman says that you have agreed to pay me $2, Valomer Lo Katzatzdi Lucha Ela Achas. And the guy says, no, that was not our agreed upon arrangement. The agreed upon arrangement was I'm going to pay you $1. Calls man shatalis biyaruman al balabayis lavi raya. So long as the uman has the talis in his possession, it's the balabayis' job to bring a raya. How does he bring a raya? He's got to bring edim that the price that he's saying is correct, because the uman is believed migo that he could say lekuach biyadi. The uman could say that it's mine, so he could say what exactly the price was. Nasnulo, but if the woman already gave back the clothing, Bismano Nishba Vinotel. If it's he's Tovea Bisman, so then he can be Nishba Vinotel, meaning he's amongst those who swears and gets paid. A Sakhir Bismano, at the time that he's supposed to get paid, can be Nishba Vinotel, can swear and get paid. Because even though, strictly speaking, normally a Moda B'Miktsas is the one who takes the Shvua, and this seems to be a case of Moda B'Miktsas. The human says, you owe me $2. The guy who owns the talis says, no, I only owe you $1, so he's the Moda B'Miktsas. He should be the one that's Nishma Benotel, but the halach is that a sachir, a takonami d'rabbanan, that a sachir, that a person is hired to do a job, he can be Nishma Benotel rather than the balabayis being Nishma Benifta, rather than the balabayis taking a shvua and becoming patra. And the reason is that we assume that a balabayis is tarud bipoalav, he has so many other things on his mind, he has so many distractions, he may not remember exactly all of the details. So we're not so comfortable with a balabayis taking a shvua, we'd much rather have the worker be Nishba Venotel. So in this case as well, the Uman gets to be Nishba Venotel as long as he's Tovea within the Zman. But Avar Zmano, but if the time for paying is already gone, he gave it back, and then the day passed, you're supposed to pay on time that day, Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. Then if the Sakhir wants to get paid, he's going to have to bring a raya that the price is what he says it is. Say Echidami, says the Gemara, what exactly is the situation over here? Idi Ika Edim, if there are Edim that you gave this object to the Uman in front of these Edim, and Mistama at that time that you gave him the object, they also set a price for the services that he was going to provide. Lechzi Edim Maikamri, bring these Edim. Ask them what the story was, what the price was. Elulav Deleka Edim. It must be that there were no Edim in this situation. There were no Edim that saw that the object was ever given to the Uman. And yet, Vikatani Uman Mehemun Migodi Bayamle Lukuchu Biyadi Mehemun Nami Aigre, that the Uman is believed because he could have said that it's his. So he's believed to say that what exactly the value was, what exactly the price was, because how do I know the human is memory? Said that it's a balabayis' job, lahavi raya, which is exactly what Rabbi said. Rabbi said that Rabbi was the one that said that lo shanu al shemasal be'edim, but if masal al shalo be'edim, the human is believed to say whatever he wants, because if there were no edim, he could have said l'kuchi biyadi, and that's apparently exactly what's happening over here. There were no edim, and that's why the human could say whatever price he wants, because he could have said that he owns the whole garment to begin with. So says the Gemara, not necessarily a raya. Lo, liolam deleka edim, vahu delo ra'a, that maybe that there were no edim, and everyone agrees that he believed, and the case is that he didn't see it. So meaning that really the situation is that there were no edim that saw the talis being given to the uman. So he's believed with amigo that he could have said la dam, he could have said lo yedvar me'olam. But the ne'manus is only b'tanai that the Edim didn't see the talis right now in the hands of the Uman. But if they saw it in the hands of the Uman right now, then the Uman would not be believed. Like Abaye had said, that was Abaye's rejection. So the only problem with saying that that's the case, that lo ra'a, that they didn't see that the Uman still has the talis right now, and that's why the Uman is believed, is that l'chora, then it's a davar pashut. Then the Bryce is not really teaching me any chiddush. So that's what the Bali Atosos are bothered by. The chiddush must then be in the seif of the Bryce, not in this part of the Bryce. But be that as it may, we thought we had a raya l'siyue l'rabba, but we in fact don't have a raya l'siyue l'rabba. So says the Gemara a little bit further. Masar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, I have a raya against Rabba. You know, the Mishnah said, Uman ein lo chazaka, that an Uman does not have a chazaka on whatever metaltalin he has in his possession. He cannot claim that he has purchased that metaltalin, and because we generally assume when an Uman has something, that it was given to him to fix and not that he had purchased it. So Uman hu dein lo chazaka. The diuk we can make is that an Uman does not have a chazaka. Ha'acher, yesh lo chazaka, but anyone else who's not an Uman, who who's holding on to metaltalim that we would have thought belongs to somebody else, since he could have bought it, he does have a chazaka. We do believe him, because it's not normal to give other people who are not professional tailors or dry cleaners or whatever your clothing. So if they have your clothing, then they do have a chazaka. Well, hey chidami, what exactly is the case that there's a difference between an uman and somebody else? If we're talking about that there were Edim that saw that he gave you the object to fix, and they saw that right now the object is still in your possession, so acher amay yesh lo chazaka. Why would somebody else have a chazaka if there are Edim that know that he gave it to you just to fix, and there are Edim that see that you still have it? So then it's obvious that you can't claim that it's yours, and that that the person would be able to get his clothing back. You also can't claim that you gave it back, because they see that you still have it. Elulav delaka edim. No, the case must be that there are no edim on that the object was ever given. Vekatani, and nevertheless, it still says, even though there were no edim, that uman ein lo chazaka, that an uman does not have a chazaka. And the reason must be that we see the object in your hand, in the hands of the uman right now. So even though there were no edim about the giving of the object to the uman, he's not believed to say that he bought it, against Rabba, who says that when there were no edim on the Mesiris HaChefetz, the uman is believed to say that he bought it. So says Umara, yeah, that's pretty good. Yufta de Rabba to Yufta. That seems to be a pretty strong rejection of Rabba. So after all the dust settles between the whole machlokas, Rabba and Abaye, it seems that we have rejected the Shita of Rabba. So now the Gemara moves on to a different discussion. What happens when people get their clothing mixed up with each other? They go to the dry cleaner and they give him back the wrong clothing. They go to a shul and they check the coat room and their coat is gone. These kinds of very common situations. San Rabbanan, Nischalfulo Kalim Bekalim Bebesa Uman. If your Kalim meaning clothing over here, gets mixed up with someone else's clothing in the Uman's house, meaning in the dry cleaners, in the tailor shop. Hareze Yishtamish Ben You can use the kelim that were given back to you, even though they're not yours, until the other guy comes and returns what is yours. But bebeis ha'avel or bebeis ha'mishta, hareze lo yishtamish ben atsheyova Allah v'yitol ha'shalo. But if it got mixed up in the beis ha'avel or in the beis ha'mishta, in a place where there are a lot of people around, so you cannot use the clothing until the other one comes and takes what's his, and then you can only use it once you get yours back. But you're not allowed to use the other person's clothing that you were accidentally given. So ask the Gemara, maishna resha umaishna seifa. Why does it make a difference whether the mix-up happened in the Beis Ha'uman or the mix-up happened in a Beis Avel or a Beis Mishta? Either way, you got someone else's clothing and he probably has yours. So why should it matter? So I'm Rav, Havi Yasivna Kameh de Chavivi. Rav says, I was sitting in front of my uncle, Va'amrali, and he said, V'chi ein adam asri lomar l'uman mecholi talisi? Well, isn't it somewhat common that a person will say to an uman, I want you to sell my talis for me? If you look at Amr al-Khibreid Rav Nachman, lo shanu elohu, meaning the Rashbam explains that in Dibur Maskel, Amr Rav Chia, in the second wide line, tam dereisha balifarish maishna miseifa v'chiena demasoi, vilkach ikal neymar shu uman machar talis achas shu mesakein b'mitzvahs balabayish at sivilo lemochro. There's one talis that the uman got that he was supposed to fix up, and then he was supposed to sell it. The uman made a mistake and he sold your talis instead. So v'nasan l'talizu midas. When he gave you the wrong talis, it wasn't a mix-up, it wasn't an accident. The mix-up was that he already sold yours. So when the uman is giving you this talis, it's a replacement that he's giving you on purpose, ad sheyachzir lo eshalo, until he can retrieve yours, until he can get yours back. V'kivin demidaito nasan lo. So that's the key, that why you're allowed to use it when there's a mix-up in the Beis Uman, because we assume that when the Uman gave you the wrong talis, he did it on purpose. He was doing it midaito. Therefore, mutu l'shtamishpa. Hashem came to Beis Avel, Beis Amishta. As opposed to the Beis Avel, Beis Amishta, no one intended to go into the Beis Avel and give you their coat. No one intended to go into the Beis Amishta and give you their coat. And therefore, since they had no intention to give it to you, you're not allowed to use something that doesn't belong to you, because it's the Bailam of it never gave you permission to use it. So it turned out that according to what Rabbi Chiya is saying, that in a typical case where there's just a confusion, where there's just a mix-up, you're not allowed to use the coat that's there. So it could be pouring outside, and the only coat left is someone who left a coat that looks exactly like yours. It just has someone else's gloves in the pocket, and nevertheless, one would not be allowed to use it. So we'll see what the post can have to say about that. Amr Abchia Breder of Nachman, Lo Shanu Elohu, Avlisho Ban of Lo, that this halacha is only if the Uman is the one that gave you the wrong garment. But if the Uman's wife or children were taking care of the shop, and they're the ones that gave you the wrong garment, you're not allowed to use it, because they, you have to assume, made a mistake. It's one thing if the Uman himself gave it to you, you could work with the assumption that the Uman gave you on purpose. He accidentally sold yours, so he on purpose gave you something else. But the Ishto Banav, more likely, they just didn't know what they were doing, and they gave you someone else's stuff. And also, this assumption that he did it on purpose and he gave you someone else's stuff on purpose, that's only if when he gave it to you, he said, here's a talis. He didn't identify it as your talis. Aval talischa lo. Hai lav talis didehu. But if the human gives it back to you and says, here is your talis, that is him saying, I am making a mistake. This is not being done on purpose, because he says it's your talis and it's not your talis. So obviously he made a mistake, and therefore you're not allowed to use it. You're only allowed to use it when you have the right to assume that he didn't make a mistake and that he gave it to you on purpose. So it turned out, l'chora, according to this Gemara, that if you mix up your coat somewhere in a shul or something else, so you can't use it at all. And that's what we paskin shulchan aruch shemishvatim kuf lamed vav sif beis. So the question is that accepted by all the later posts? So the poskim do come up with the following. There is an Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan suggests that the minug, he says, in Mekomos HaGedolim, Sherabim Misasvim Behem, the minug in these large places where a lot of people gather together, and people leave Hamna'alim HaElyonim B'Prozdar, people leave their galoshes, their rubbers, and they all look the same. They're all they all look exactly the same, and they're all left in these in the hallway, in the coat room, when they leave, it's very common that they'll be mixed up for each other. So says Yerach HaShulchan, that is not a violation of Gezela. If you take someone else's and you use it, that is the minag. If that's the minag, then that's perfectly fine. So Rav Moshe, Netshuva, Nigros Moshe, Arachayim Chelekei, Simen Tes, quotes this Aruch HaShulchan, and he says, L'chora, the Aruch HaShulchan is not just talking about in the city where the Aruch HaShulchan lived, and in nearby cities. He says, Stam Mekomos, when we don't know of any other minag, probably that's the minag. That when people are mischalif, the minal l'melionim. And then he says, and probably it's not only about the minal l'melionim, because why should it be any different if it's a coat? If it's a jacket, that l'chara would be the same thing. So Moshe has two chidushim beyond the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says the minag in places that I'm aware of is dafka with minal l'melionim. Moshe says not only in those places, and not only with that kind of kli, even with clothing as well. And then Rav Moshe says, however, if you know who the owner of the coat is, and that owner didn't take anything, so then the one who took it by accident has to return it to the owner. He can't find his own thing. That's too bad. It got stolen, it got lost, but you got to give back what, if you know who the owner is, you got to give it back, even if you can't find yours. You can't say, well, mine wasn't there, so I can take this guy's. No, it doesn't work that way. If yours wasn't there, so you're out of luck. And the Rav Moshe writes, but if there's no other minhag that we know about, he would have to pay for the hana'as halavisha as well, even though he had rishus to use it. That's only because we assumed at that time that it was nischalif. But if it turns out that it wasn't nischalif and that his was lost and he was using someone else's thing, so he would have to pay for the hana'as halavisha that he had, which I'm not sure how exactly you assess that, but that's where Moshe writes would be the Ikra Din. And therefore Moshe says, because we don't want to have to get involved in having to pay for Anas Levisha and having to worry about these kinds of things, he says it's best, and also because we don't know that every place necessarily has the same minag as the place of the Aruch HaShulchan, he says the best thing to do is b'kol makom u'makom al yidei rashei akal, they should get together and they should be mefarsim to all the mespalalim that they're, when they're making the takana, and they should write it on a sign in the coat room that exactly what the rules are, and then everyone will know that if something happens by accident, so you're not going to have to pay for that Nas Levisha, you can wear it until you find the rightful owner, and you know, just have a policy that's put in place, and when that policy is put in place, that should cover all of the situations. So there's a lot of discussion in later poskim as well about this in the Shevet HaLevi and the Pesachei Choshen. This is a very, very common case, and therefore they all talk about what to do in that situation. Rav Moshe's Eitzel L'chora is the best Eitzel, to have some sort of policy in place. Amalei Abaye L'Rava. New issue over here, 6 lines from the bottom of the page. Amalei Abaye L'Rava. So Abaye says to Rava, Ta Achvilach. Yeah, that's where we're up to, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So ta achvilach. Let me come in and show you Ramay de Pumbedisa my avdi. What the Ramay of Pumbedisa, the liars, the deceitful people of Pumbedisa, what their behaviors are, what they do, and what they try to get away with. Armalei havli sarvaloi. You're going to go and you're going to ask the umnin Pumbedisa, can you give me back my garment? And they're going to say back to you, lo yidvar me'alim. I don't know what you're talking about. You never gave me anything. They try to get away with everything. You're going to come back and you're going to say to them, but I have witnesses that saw my beged by you. So don't tell me that you don't have anything. So Rashbam says, not exactly that you have Eidim that saw that it was your beged and that necessarily recognized it as your beged. Rashbam writes on the 4 lines from the bottom, beged echad ra'u v'hu shali, umiyu Eidim in makirim bo yafe im zehu. You know, I have a beged that I know, based on the description of the Eidim, I'm pretty confident that the beged that they saw that you have is my beged, so I'm fairly confident based on that description, but the Eidim themselves aren't being made that the beged that they saw is my beged, because they don't know my begadim well enough. They know what they saw, they have a description of it. Based on that description, I believe it's my beged, so I'm going to come and I say I have Eidim that saw a beged that matches the description of my beged, so let's see it, let's bring out that beged that these Eidim saw. Armalei ahu achrina hava. He's going to say, no, it's not yours. That's someone else's beged. It's a very similar one, but it's not the same. So afkinev nechzinu. So you'll say, okay, let's take it out. Let's see, and we'll see if it's my beged. Armalei ivr lo mafiknalei. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take it out for you. Why not? I mean, what's his taina? His taina is just I don't want to. So Rashbam explains, ivr lo mafiknalei beemes lo atzianu bishvil shtanu secha shal hevel. You're coming in. I'm saying these ridiculous things because of your taina shel hevel, I'm going to go and show you other people's stuff. How do you think the guy, the real owner of this beged, is going to feel that I'm showing around his beged? I'm not going to go showing around other people's stuff just because you come with some of your ridiculous claim. That's the Ramos, says the Rashbam. They're acting like such a tzaddik. You know, this person trusts me to maintain his privacy, to not show his begadim, to not show other people his things. So I'm going to show you someone else's things. But really, he's trying to steal what's yours. So this was their trick. They would hide behind this veil of righteousness. But really, they were just trying to steal. steal someone else's things. So Amar Rava, Shapir Kamarle. Rava says, you know, he's got a good taina. The Uman is has every legal right to say that, even though it may be Ramos, they have every right to say that I'm not going to show you someone else's stuff. So Min Adin, he has he seems to be on the right side of the law. So says Amar Ra'a Tanya. The Rashbam explains Ra'a Taliso Biara Uman Sharoa Achshan Ube Edim. That the Brisa explains that the case is that only if the Toveya saw and his Edom saw the talis by the Uman, he's not neman to believe to say that he sold it to him. So over here, they didn't see the talis. They didn't see the exact talis. They saw something that looks like the talis. So therefore, the Uman is able to be machish and to say that lo haydvar me'olam, and I don't want to take out this talis. The only case where the Uman does not have a valid taina is if they actually saw something that they can truly identify as the rightful talis. So says the Gemara, so how can you do anything to get him to show you the talis? Is there some sort of trick that you could do? So Amar Ravashi, the Chachim Mashvile Ra'a. If you're smart, if the Toveh wants to be smart, you can make it that he will show it to you. How do you make it that he will show it to you, that he'll be able to take it out now, and you'll convince him to show it to you? To Amar Lei, you should tell him in secret and with a little deceitfulness, I might fisaslay. You know, we both know that you tell go to him privately without the aid and say, we both know you have my talis, and we both know why you have my talis. Lav mishum dislach kabai. It's because I owe you money, right? That's why you have my talis, because I haven't paid you something that you think I owe you, and you're afraid that I'm going to deny that I owe you money. Don't worry, I'm not going to deny anything. And so you don't deny that it's my clothing. I won't deny that I owe you money. So here's what you should do. Hashta apkinu v'sheminu. Take out the talis. Let's get it assessed. We'll see exactly how much it's worth. Shkol atidach v'eshkol anadidi. And you'll take what's rightfully yours, and I'll take what's rightfully mine. Meaning, if I owe you $1,000, and we take out this talis, and it's worth $1,100, so good. So you'll keep the talis, and you'll reimburse me $100 for the difference. So that way, everything will be solved. And that way, you'll get him to bring it out. You'll get him to show it to you. And then once he shows it to you, now you'll have the upper hand. Now you'll have the advantage. You don't really owe him any money, so that's a way by letting him believe that he's going to make some money off the deal. So I'm like Ravacha Breid Ravavi Ravashi Ravacha Breid Ravavi says Ravashi, it's not going to work. Matzi Amarle, the Uman could just say Lo Tzurich Nol Shuma Didach Kvar Shuma Kamai Kamai De Kamach. So don't worry, I have already had it assessed, and as it turns out, it's just about the right amount of money. So I'm gonna keep the talis. Meaning he's not gonna buy it. He's not going to fall for the plan. Now Tosos on Amar Aleph in the bottom of Tosos Shapir Ka Amarle says Tosos. The lo mashvi ra'a, my time the ra'a tanya, and the he explains the next line of ra'a tanya is explaining why it's shapir ka'amrele, that the uman has the right to say I'm not going to show it to you because you haven't seen something that you've been able to posit, that Edom have been able to positively identify as actually belonging to you. So says tells us temu l'rashba de mai bayi l'meimar I bayi l'meimar shapir ka'amar de lo mashvi le ra'a. So he says, I don't understand why we have to mention Ra'a Tanya. Isn't that obvious that if they actually saw it and they actually know whose garment they're actually able to identify it as the beged that belongs to him? So then obviously he would not have any manas on such a beged. So Tosos raises the question: what exactly are we adding with Ra'atanya? So says Tosos, v'nira lo lefarish hachi. The Rashba Chazal explains as follows. Shapir ka'amar kilomar. When we say the Uman is a good taina, we mean says shetoin taina zu de loy dvar me'olam da al yedei kach lo mashvi le'ra'a, that the balabais is not able to taina that the edim saw the talis in his hands, holu le'edim lo hayva tvius ayin, because the edim didn't recognize this talis as belonging to the balabais. They just saw a talis that has those same simanim like the balabais is talis in the base of Uman v'yach lomar, and therefore the Uman could say that you never gave me any talis. Acher haya, this is a different talis. Aval iav etayin, but if the Uman would claim lekuach ubiyadi, it is your talis and I bought it, lo haya ne'eman, then you would not be believed. De ein lo od migo, because then he loses his migo. De bayam rechzartiv lach aloy dvar meolam diari lomar kein, because he wouldn't be able to say rechzartiv lach or aloy dvar meolam, I returned it to you or it never happened, because he's going to be afraid to say that that he doesn't have it anymore. Hol v'yeshedim shoro talis koso shu shalo biyado, since there are eidim that saw a talis that looks like his talis in the possession of the Uman. So that's the point, that the fact that the eidim saw something that's similar is valuable lahalacha, because if the Uman claims the koach ubiyadi, he's now not going to be believed because of those edim. Because he loses his migo, he's not going to be able to say lo yedvar me'olam because he's afraid to say that due to the edim. Vashasi shapir dekamar ma'itayma ra'atanya. Now we understand better what the next line of the Gemara is when it says ma'itayma ra'atanya kolomar. It means to say that if you see the talis in the hands of the Uman cannot say that you sold it to me. Afal pi she'ein araya gemura shel tviyus ayin, el shei bay simanim kamo shelo. Even though you don't have an absolute tviyus ayin, you just have certain simanim. De ra'a de k'tani bebraisa, mashmalei b'chol inyin re'iya. Ein onam elomer l'kuach ibiyadi. Because ra'a tanya means, when the braisa used the term ra'a, it sounded like that you don't have to have an absolute tvius ayin in order for the Uman not to be able to claim lekuach ubiyadi. You don't have an absolute tvius ayin, and nevertheless, the Uman is not able to claim lekuach ubiyadi. So that's the meaning of that line of ra'atanya. It's explaining the advantage that the bal habeget has as a result of the edim that saw something that has a similar simon to what his beged is supposed to look like. Okay, aris ein lo chazaka. So the Mishnah had said that an aris, a sharecropper, doesn't develop a chazaka in the property that he's working on. So says the Gemara, not always true. First of all, says Gemara, amai, why wouldn't the aris have a chazaka? A sharecropper normally gets exactly what it sounds like, a share of the crop. So he only gets to keep half of it. If now he's keeping the whole thing, so isn't that a clear enough change that demonstrates ownership, and you should therefore have a chazaka? So amai, ad in the palga vashtakula. Up until now he was only getting half. Now he's getting the whole thing. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan ba'arise bate avos. Now we're dealing with a different kind of aris, not an aris that gets half of the crop each year, as Rosh Bam explains. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, about seven lines before the lines get wide. Masnisim ba'arise bate avos ma'ari sheregilin lishmar sadol shel mishpacha zu me'olam. This goes down through the generations. This is a family of sharecroppers that serves as a sharecropper for the same family through generations. And therefore no other aris would be coming in. You can't fire them. You can't bring in another aris. Those arisim, normally the deal is, since you know that they're employed forever and ever, you'll let them take all of the peros of the field for 2 or 3 years, and then the bailim will take the peros, all of the peros, for the next 2 or 3 years. So hilka chenam chazaka aval shara risin yeshlan chazaka b'reina chinami, says the Gemara. A regular aris who could be here today, gone tomorrow, and therefore would never be, the deal would never be with a regular aris that he gets all of the peros, because he may be gone tomorrow, he'll take all of your peros this year and you'll never get your peros the next year. So a regular aris, he normally only gets a percentage of the peros. So if he's taking all the peros for 3 years, he will have a chazaka. That will be a good raya that he's in fact the owner of the field. Amar Rav Nachman, Aris Shahorid Arisim Tachtav Yesh Lo Chazaka. If an Aris brings in other Arisim to serve as an, you know, to work for him, that is a, that's a Chazaka, that the Aris actually owns it. My time, to lo avin and shnachti arisi la ari v'shasik. Normally, a person does not allow for other arisin to be brought into the field and to not say anything. So, if you're bringing other arisin in, so then it's it's a raya that it's actually your field and no longer belongs to the marakama. Amar Rav Yochanan, aris shechalak la arisin ein lo chazaka. If an aris divides up the land in different parts, and he gives it to different arisim, different parts of the land, to other arisim to work on, that is not a chazaka for the aris. My taima, emer hermanya ba'alma shavya. Because even though when you bring in someone else to work on it, normally that is a chazaka, but you could assume that if he's dividing it up, that the owner gave you permission to bring in other arisim to help out with the big tircha, to help out with the big job, which just was too big of a job for one man to handle, and that's why you divided it up amongst these other people. But that is not a sign of ownership. Now the Rishonim have a big discussion in terms of how to explain the distinction between an aris that brings in arisin tachtav versus an aris that's chalik la arisin. It sounds very similar. You bring in other arisim, or you divide up amongst other arisim. So the Rashbam explains that when you morid arisin, it's yesh la chazaka, because the Bailam saw that the aris himself is not doing anything, that the aris that he hired is not doing any of the work, that should be a cause for a macha'a. Chalak la'arisin implies, says the Rashbam, that the original artist is also working with them. So if the original artist is also working with them, so then the balabai is not going to make a macha. That's a normal thing to do. That's how the Rashbam understands. The Ran explains a little bit different. He says that an artist that's morid arisin means that there weren't arisin previously in that field. He's the one that brought them into the field, so he has a chazaka, because it's not normal for a person to be shosik when he sees other arisim coming into his field. But chalak l'arisim means there already were arisim in the field beforehand, but this aris moved them around. He moved them, you know, you now don't work on that side of the field, you work on that side of the field. So in that case, it's ein lo chazaka, because it could be that the bailum was shosik because he doesn't care which aris works where. There are a number of arisim that work in the field, so they'll work wherever it is that they work, and he's not going to be bothered by that. So that is that's how the Rashbam explains this chilik between what Rav Nachman had said, that an aris shorid arisim tachtav is yesh lo chazaka, and what Rabbi Yochanan had said, that if he's chalak la'arisin, he's ein lo chazaka. Shalach le'Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda le'Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda sent the following message to Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. Yilam denu rabbeinu, teach us our Rebbe, aris meid o eno meid. Can an aris be made or can an aris not be made? Meaning, can an aris be made about the property that it belongs to the person who hired him, or can he not be made? Havi Yosef Rav Yosef Kamei Amalei Hachi Amar Shmuel Aris made. He says that Shmuel said that an aris is allowed to be made. Aiva Tanya Eino made, but didn't the Braisa say that he cannot be made? So lo kasha. Hadika pera ba'ara, hadalaka pera ba'ara. It depends if there are peros in the land or not. What does that mean? So Rashbam explains. Hadika pera ba'ara, shadayin lo natala aris chelko, eino made. The aris did not yet get his portion of what he's supposed to get from that field, then he cannot be made. Because he wants Reuven, who he's been working for, to be the owner of that property, because if it turns out that Reuven had stolen it, Shimon's going to seize the field with all the peros in it, and then the artist will be out of luck. He's never going to get paid for his job. But the lack of pera ba'ara, the gamlo tarach ba'aris klum b'shanazu, if the aris hasn't done any work yet in this year in this field, matzi lahey de lomar viach midi, then he can testify, because he doesn't gain anything by Reuven being the owner instead of Shimon. Bahay edus, with such an edus, vimishum shim nishar karka biad Reuven hayu marida ba'arisos harbe yimtsos ad ba'arisos. And if it's that, what do you mean? Reuven was willing to hire him as an aris. He'll be out of a job if Shimon gets gets this field. Says Rosh Hashanah, nah, he's not so worried about that. There aren't that many sharecroppers, and there are plenty of fields that need sharecropping, so he's not so concerned. Plus, you know, these kinds of agreements, of employment agreements, are not so rock solid. You don't know that Reuven's going to keep you as an artist anyway. So he really has very little to gain by lying over here. That's how the Rashbam explains. The Rashba asks that if there's payros in the field and the artist hasn't gotten his payment yet, why wouldn't he be able to be made? Since he was an artist in that field, the Nigzal would have to pay him his chelik as an artist also. I mean, if someone is yored the talks today and he works for it and he makes it produce, so whether you hired him or not, you're going to have to pay him. Furthermore, the Rashba asks, even if there are no payros right now in the field, and the artist hasn't worked in the field yet, he still shouldn't be made, because the nigzal could be toveya from him whatever he ate during the previous years. Meaning, if you're really concerned that the nigzal is going to come and take away the field and take away all the payros, he'll also say to the artist, and you've been working here for 5 years, and you've been eating half of my payros for 5 years, so give me back all of those years worth of payros. And therefore, the Rashbam, the Rashba, and the Ritva, many other Rishonim, have an entirely different understanding of this chilik between Ika Pera and Leka Pera. But okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amalek Simon.